watching and hate watching a show on Netflix on arranged marriages, and everyone has an opinion on this show because it puts the spotlight on the deep-rooted problems of casteism and highlights in the process the problems of casteism, patriarchy, misogyny, and many other identity issues that we as an Indian society have normalized. But we're asking tonight, as the show holds a mirror to Indian society, is the concept of arranged marriage outdated, or does it just exist in new forms in 2020 with all the gross realities of Indian life, sexism, colorism, etc.? It's all there. Or are things changing? Well, let's quickly get down to the show. We have lots of panelists on tonight, lots of spokespersons, case studies. Let's start with Kritika Rathi. She's a businesswoman from Delhi. Kritika, you run your own digital marketing company. Thank you for joining us. You're from a conservative Maheshwari Marwadi family, and you're, as they say, on the market. You've been meeting guys, as you've told us, since you were 23. Your parents have tried matchmakers. You've gone online. Kritika, in a sense, you've been living this show since you were 23. You've seen it. Is it a fair portrayal of what it's like out there for someone like you?
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. So basically, since I was 24, I've been meeting all of these guys, and honestly, everything that happens on the show is my life, pretty much, but not so extreme. I've also met a lot of guys. I've met over 35 guys through matchmakers, through relatives, and all of that. And what happens is you see a bit of all of the conversations that I've had in my real life in that show, which is why I think I've been speaking about it for over, I don't know, the whole week. So I think overall, I could say that some of it is true, but most of it is exaggerated.
Does it boil down to how you look, how much money the family can spend?
Yeah, it does. It pretty much goes down that route. And actually, that conversation happens on the back end, right? I don't really get to know that part. All I am told is that, okay, this is the profile, meet the guy and see where it can go. And once I meet him, it goes on the whole non-traditional way, which is, if we like each other, we can meet as many times as we want.
So let me ask, you said you've met, 30 guys. So what went wrong? Because clearly, you're keen to get married. You're open to the idea of marriage. How you meet the right guy and which path you take is different. So what happened? Did you turn down these guys? Did they turn you down?
I think it's a combination of both. But through the course of, 7 years since I'm meeting guys, I've also transformed and learned a lot about myself and come to become this person who is career oriented. And while I have this company, which is like 147, which is 45 members, I've realized that I'm not willing to sort of compromise on a few things. And, the sad part is there's an assumption that is made about independent working women, that they'll not be able to lead a balanced married life.
Correct.
And I think that's what I'm struggling with. So every time I talk to this person, there was this case when I met this guy. He said, "You're so inspiring. I love what you do. And I think you would be the perfect person to grow old with, learn with." And then after 2 or 3 meetings, he turns around and tells me that, "I think my parents feel like you're very forward thinking and you'll not be able to adjust." And unfortunately, that is something that they have the voice to say, because it is an arranged setup.
So let me ask you, are you the only one who needs to do the adjusting?
No, not at all. I think adjusting is such a misunderstood word. I think it's more about making it work.
No, but in the minds of the men you were seeing, in the parents, for them, it's the woman has to do the adjusting.
I think it's expected. You're very right when you say it's expected, because I have been told things like, "You'll have to give up your career when you have a child, or if we move, or, we have a good financial business."
Let me ask you, I think what a lot of people would be thinking is, when we hear you speak, you're an independent working woman, you're educated, you've been exposed, you've studied graduation, you've studied abroad, I think. So you have the opportunity even to meet people, right? With the same interests that you have. Why did you choose to do this? Because I think at some point you told our producer that you started off anti-arranged marriages, but now you're okay with the concept and the idea.
I think over the years, my parents have gotten to know me very well. And I think they're very aware of what kind of experiences I'm looking for when I get married. And I can totally rely on them to make that call for me. And beyond that, they give it to me. They tell me, all of this is very much like what you're looking for, like the bio data.
But you still had to meet 30 guys and turn them down.
I did. And actually, it's really strange, but I've gone far with a couple of them. I would say 5 or 6 meetings. But somehow, the thought in their mind is that she will have a business and she will be progressive and she will not be able to adjust. That is something I cannot seem to get rid of.
So another quick question. You're saying you trust your parents' judgment. They know you better than anyone else. But why not try Tinder or Bumble, where you can, fill out, the questions about what you're looking for in a guy instead of placing that onus on your parents?
I think when you talk about these dating apps, I have a couple of people who've used it around me. I think all you find is not very serious relationships. There are people only looking for other things and not marriage. So it could be deceiving, you know? And I don't think I want to go through that route at all. It's scary, to be honest.
Okay. Kritika, hold on. Let's bring in Mukesh Gupta. He is a matchmaker. He is the owner of Wedlock Weddings. Mukesh Gupta, thank you for joining us. Mukesh, were you surprised by the backlash against the show and, you know, what you do?
No, I don't think so. Sarah, like, let me be very honest with you. What Kritika is saying, I totally go by that. But in an arranged marriage, where we go with the families and we see about the personality, we see the financials, we see the overall things which we are going to match with the individual, like maybe a boy, maybe a girl, and how the families are going to respond to it. We need to know very much if they do allow the girl to work. If they say we want a housewife, then we have to give them match that way. We cannot give them a professional, because professional goes with a professional. If a business family is there, so we need to give them a family which is appropriate according to them. So we go about that.
So let me ask you, when you say someone who's working, you'll match them with someone who's working. One of the critiques about the matchmaker on the show was that she exploits, the young men and women, mostly the women, and their deep-seated insecurities on the show.
There's a very mixed
So in a sense, what I'm asking you is then, are you perpetuating the system or the negatives in our society when you say that, I'll only get you, they're looking for a certain type of girl, so I will give them that kind of girl?
No, it's not like every individual is a different person. So we have to understand that what kind of a person the family is looking for. Suppose if we say that there's a business class family, so we can't give them a service class family, because the thought process, the mind process of the boy and the girl won't match. Or rather, I would say nowadays the education plays a very major role in it. Now we have to see the girl is passed out from which school, which college. We have to see the boy is
passed
out from which
college. So business class families want an educated daughter-in-law, but they don't want her to have a 9-to-5 job.
Yes, I could say that. But they can take her into their own business.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue.
Got it. So is there a role, you think, for a matchmaker like you today? Because you have matrimonial websites and dating apps, etc., have taken over the role of this traditional matchmaking. Like, what would be the advantage of having a matchmaker?
Let me be honest, having an advantage of a matchmaker is very clear. Like in Wedlock, in our company, what we do, that we visit every client. We see what is the things, what is the status they have, what is the financial securities they already have it with them, and what kind of an individual person, boy or girl, they are looking for. So the prospect alliance, which we work with for them, we ask them what kind of a person you're looking. If they say that we like a homely girl, we would like to give them a homely girl. Secondly, the first condition is always with that the girl's side should give an answer yes to the boy's profile first. We don't share the boy's profile first with the girl's profile with the boy's side. We give the first preference to the girl's side, because they are the first to say yes or no. If they say yes and no, then we give it to the girl's boy side. They also have the same right to say yes or no.
Okay. Interestingly, one thing that was interesting about what you said, in your experience, you think that it's the younger generation that's more rigid, or is it who's more difficult for you to please? Is it the parents or the
bride? It will be the kids right now, because young generation today nowadays is very skeptical and they know what they want. So the parents make the search and they say, fine, this is the family. We have seen the family. We have seen the boy. We like the status and everything, but you go and meet. Now the girl and the boy, once they meet, they have certain things in their mind. Like maybe how will they look? Because nowadays socially, they want to be very correct. They have to be very correct with each other. So like we are standing together, we should look good couple, the height, everything matches. The habits,
so are you
eating
saying that the couple themselves is focusing on things like looks, colorism, fairness, height, weight, or is it the parents?
It's basically with the couple, with the young generation.
And the parents are less focused on these issues?
Yeah, parents are less because they when the boy or the girl say to the parent that yes, we want to get married, then they give certain things to the parents, the input.
Well, I can see a lot of our other panelists are disagreeing. Let's quickly bring in some others. Let's go to Bhavna Jamini. She's an author, she's an architect, she's an activist. Bhavna, let me ask you, you know, choosing a mate, whether through a traditional arranged marriage route or meeting someone online or physically, requires one to navigate between aspirations of choice and individuality. And in a sense, when you work through that, you may not say it out loud, but perhaps subconsciously, these issues of caste, class, gender, they're all there. I mean, is it easy to look at Indian society as oppressive when you look at it through the lens of arranged marriage? But how is it different if you're swiping right on Tinder, right? After 20 seconds, I'm still going based by the guy's looks or his physique. Bhavna? Bhavna, can you hear me? Okay, let's try if we can get Bhavna again. Let's reconnect Bhavna. Then I want to just go across to a journalist joining us from New York. And this is Sangeeta Singh. Sangeeta Singh Kurtz is a journalist. She's a senior writer at New York Magazine, joining us from New York. Sangeeta, I want to ask you, you've written about this, you've also had a personal experience with this, but when we talk about women of our mother's generation, for them there was no choice. But for women of our generation, things have changed. Yet, are you surprised that there are so many, you know, as have been described on the show by Kritika, modern, contemporary, liberal women, educated, exposed, who are still choosing to go down this route?
Not necessarily. I mean, it makes sense that even within this generation, wherein people tend to have more agency, more education, more money, they don't want to completely throw off the trappings of their traditions. They don't want to throw off their family expectations. I feel like many of them have tried.
Do we have
dating apps, meeting through friends? But it was like you were saying earlier, in a lot of ways, that is self-selecting. You are picking people based on how they look, based on their jobs, etc. Even when you put your information into an app, the algorithm is most likely going to pair you with someone in a similar socioeconomic class, right? So I think when you see it sort of externalized in a different culture, these factors of colorism and casteism, things of that nature, it can be really horrific. But I think in a lot of ways, and I'm coming from a sort of Western perspective of an Indian American person, in a lot of ways, we do already do that. So it doesn't surprise me that people are still turning to traditional matchmaking systems, because it's sort of like, why not?
Why not? Like, why take a chance on something so important? And your experience yourself, you said your mother had an arranged marriage. Have you both watched this show?
She did not have an arranged marriage. She was the eldest of seven siblings who did not have an arranged marriage. So she immigrated from India. She was born in Amritsar. She immigrated from there when she was 1 year old, and she moved to Manchester, where there's a very sort of extremely traditional Indian culture, mostly Punjabis. And she went through the process when she was 19, and her parents were a little bit more on the liberal side. So when she said that she didn't want to do this, they didn't sort of suppress that opinion. They allowed her to do what she wanted. And she did end up marrying outside of the system. She married a man who's outside of her race even. And that can come with, in a lot of cases, it can engender everything from social outrage to violence. So,
Have you both watched the show either together or apart? And what have there been any differences in both your reactions between the two generations?
Yeah. I mean, I think she was sort of surprised to see what was a very similar experience to hers 30 years ago playing out on a Netflix TV show. But she had her critiques mostly around how the television show showed things as it implied that things ended well between a lot of the couples, which wasn't the case. That we know that was not the case.
That's true. Worked out. The matchmaker wasn't successful. The matchmaker wasn't successful with either of the seven couples.
Right, precisely. And she wanted to see, like, what happens when it's not successful. That's where this stuff gets difficult. When there are divorces, when there are breakups, when there are differences in how the family lives or how much money the families are making. She wanted to see more of that. So she did have those critiques.
Well, then you can blame it on the parents and not have to take personal responsibility. But Sangeetha just pointed out that her mother and her both watched the show, and her mother was surprised that the issues that she had to grapple with and confront 30 years ago were still playing out today in 2020 on a show here on Netflix. But so my question to you is, there's been so much negative reaction to the show, but isn't it true that even if you say, you know, people are going online to meet people, we are making those decisions based again, you know, at the start, at least on the same issues, whether we're looking at color, whether we're looking at physique. So is it the show or is it just us?
Yeah, I feel, for the show, the problem that I have is that there is a serious lack of self-awareness that when, you know, as a single woman in 20, as a 28-year-old, I'm going out, I'm not looking out, you know, that my supposed partner needs to be 6 feet tall or needs to look a certain way. A lot of questions that the show has raised around how the arranged marriages lead to these segregated societies. I feel that even as single people, we carry them into our dating lives. But I feel we are far more self-aware. But that self-awareness was extremely lacking when it was presented on the show.
Okay, let's try and get Bhavna on a phone line, please, because we can't hear her very well. Meanwhile, Professor Chandraban Bhushan joins us. He's a former professor of education at IGNU, former chairperson of the NIOS. Lack of self-awareness is what Bhavna says over here, Professor Chandrabhushan Sharma. You know, the issue of expectations comes up often on the show. And as I asked Kritika, it's always women who are expected to be more flexible with their expectations. That hasn't changed today, even in contemporary dating.
No, Sarah, I won't accept it completely. I believe our part is not really heard all the time. Men are equally
here?
Under pressure. But
who
what
is the
I
our,
believe,
Mr. Sharma?
Is,
when you say
can you
our
hear me?
Part. Yes. I just want to know who the hour is when you're talking.
Yeah. So what I believe that in arranged marriage, true, the girl side may feel pressured because there are expectations which the men side always put forward. But then let me tell you, I mean, most of the times in the hinterland, the rural India, it's arranged marriage and boy's side is equally under pressure because it's not really a marriage of two individuals. It's a marriage of two communities, two families, an extended family. So I believe girls may feel, and that is being blown up, but the boy's side, I can tell you, is equally under pressure. The expectation from the boys, how will my girl be in your family? What are your customs? And these things the boy side also have to answer. So what I believe is that it's not very true when you say that only girls are under pressure. See, I believe when the dowry was very prevalent, the girl side was pressurized for more dowry, more money and things like that. But slowly the dowry has come down.
Well, many are skeptical because the show doesn't touch upon the issue of dowry at all. You know, that's a classic easy move. They've just stepped past that. But again, when we talk about whether things have changed today, let's bring in Devdoot and Meghla Das. Devdoot, Meghla, thank you for joining us. Your story is that you met via Shaadi.com. You've been married for 2 years. You just celebrated your second wedding anniversary, I'm told. Congratulations under lockdown. Your celebrations. But,
Thank you.
You know, for both of you, your profiles were sorted out by your parents. So your parents put your profiles up online?
Actually, yes. But definitely the criteria was ours, right? So you can say it was jointly set up, right? There was definitely a pressure from our parents to get married. So, I mean, there was a bit of pestering from our parents. But yes, we combined set up for both of us.
And what about you, Devdoot? Were you also open to the idea of an arranged marriage right from the start?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, thank you for inviting us on the show.
What Meghla
was saying, the same thing happened with my family. My dad created my profile, but obviously with the consent of my preferences and then how we went ahead. There was a huge laundry list in the website or when you go to a newspaper matrimonial
page. Out of curiosity, why couldn't you do it yourself? Was it just too tedious? Were there just too many questions? What prevented you from sitting down and filling it out yourself? Why did your dad have to do it?
So it was a joint effort, if you say like that.
Okay.
But definitely the criteria were based on my preference only. But we were actually, me and my dad or any of our family were not too keen on any of such preferences. Because we believe once you meet the girl, that's how things connect and how things move ahead. So it was a very basic profile, which it was one of the standard ones which are offered by the matrimonial site, and then we shared the coordinates via parents, and then things moved.
But go ahead.
In fact, for our marriage, we did not choose to match our kundalis.
Nothing.
We both met. The first time we spoke for about 3 hours. And we continued speaking, and then we decided to meet. In fact, we did not even tell our parents that we are meeting. Definitely, my father knew that I was talking to this guy. We kind of met for about a week. And when we realized that we both are, you know, kind of good for each other, maybe we can spend our life, that's when we decided to get our parents involved, in our case at least.
But what are your views of the show? Of course, you may be an exception. You're saying no pressure really from your parents. Both of you still, you know, high profile jobs, exposure. Again, like I said to Kritika, you have the option of meeting people who would have the same interests as you through work, through your higher education. Still, you chose to go down this route. What was your opinion on the show, though? Because many have talked about how it does raise some very serious concerns.
It does. Because in one of the episodes, it says that kids are very fickle. So a parents has to be a part of it, or else the things might go haywire. So we, as a couple, we always felt let's get along, let's connect between each other, and let's understand how things would go ahead, and then definitely involve our parents, their views, the whole lot of way ahead goes forward. But there are things which are very stretched in this show.
Something like where they say the girl has to be flexible, but I do not agree to it. I feel the boy and the girl both have to be flexible, right?
True.
So otherwise a marriage cannot work. And if either of the partner is fickle-minded, I'm sure the marriage won't work in the long run.
Hmm.
Absolutely. So,
and
you know,
not
there's
only
one
boy and girl.
Okay. I want
to... It has to be two families.
Yes.
I think...
Yes, because you can't have a marriage work or anything work if only one person and the woman is being flexible and bending over all the time. But
correct.
Last 30 correct. Seconds to Mukesh Gupta. Mukesh, if you could just touch upon how much of this is actually successful, because as Sangeeta pointed out there, in this show, none of this, the case studies, the seven couples that this matchmaker was working on actually worked out.
Actually, but let me be very honest with you. It is not about two like girl making a in a what do you call that in a thing something like ki mujhe thoda sa adjustment karna. No, that's not the way. It's about the family. It is about the boy. It is about the girl. Everybody has to do certain bit of efforts. Yes, matchmaker. What does it does? It does ki what kind of a family, what kind of a girl, what kind of a society, community we are looking at. We give you that thing. You never know what clicks when. But yes, if the two people are like-minded, then we can easily tell them, ki bhai, let's, you match, just catch up, have a word, see whether you click or not, and then take it to the parents.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining this conversation. We're completely out of time, but thank you all for bringing all your views on the show tonight.
Thank you very much, Sarah. It was lovely meeting
you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.